The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
At joycemeyer.org/study, you'll find free resources to help you get more out of the Bible, whether you're a new Christian or have been walking with Christ for years. So jump in today. The Word. It's free, it's mobile, and it's tailored for you at joycemeyer.org.
One of the things that happened during that period of time, which was so valuable for the future, was we grew in faith in that time because $40 short, you know, each month of paying our bills. Well, whether you're $40 short or $5,000 short, you're short. So you can't pay your bills unless God miraculously takes care of them.
I mean, sometimes somebody would, you know, say, oh, here, I felt like God told me to give you $20 or, you know, maybe a relative would come to visit and stay with us for a week and they'd leave a $50 bill for groceries after they left, or maybe we'd get a refund on something we weren't expecting. I mean, it was really amazing to watch God work. Well, this weekend I'm talking about 10 of the things that have been what I feel are some of the most important things that I've learned in my 37-year journey of walking with God. Now, I was born again a long time before that. I actually was saved when I was 9 years old, but I didn't really even try to walk with God or have a relationship with God until Dave and I got married. And then for a long time, it was just, I was sincere in my heart, but I learned a lot about religion, but I still didn't have that relationship with God through Christ. And when I finally got serious, and you know, there's a difference in just going to church and being serious. How many of you know that? There's a difference in just going to God when you have a problem and you want Him to solve that problem, and God being the center of your whole life and letting Him be involved in everything that you do. And to be honest, God doesn't want to live in a little Sunday morning box that a lot of people like to keep Him in. Let Him out. Come on, God, you can come out for 45 minutes. It's Sunday morning. Then go back in your box and I'll just take it from here the rest of the week and let you know if I have a problem. So if you're not real serious, then what I'm saying this weekend is not going to mean a whole lot to you, but I believe you are serious or you wouldn't have taken the time to be here. Now, we may have some people channel surfing right now, and you don't know how you feel about any of this. Well, I'm just encouraging you to stay with us for a little bit because I'm going to tell you some things today that's going to help you really enjoy your life and have a better life than perhaps you've ever had before in your whole life. So I had a real rough childhood, like many of you, got a bad start, but I'm happy to say that just because you have a bad start doesn't mean that you can't have a good finish. And I personally believe that it's how we finish that's the most important thing. So no matter where you're at right now, or no matter what you've done or what's been done to you, I want you to know that God has a great plan for your redemption, and He wants to walk you out of your mess and into what we fondly call the promised land in the Bible. And the promised land actually was a real place that the Israelites traveled to, but it was a type and a shadow of our walk with God. We come out of bondage in Egypt, which is bondage to sin, and we all, like it or not, travel through a wilderness. And that wilderness really is our own soulish, selfish, carnal living. We're learning in that period of time how to trust God, how to receive the grace of God, how to keep God first in our life, and so many other things. Now, if you never learn those things, then you never will make it to the promised land. You may go to heaven when you die, but you're not going to enjoy your journey here. And I don't know about you, but I'm all for enjoying the journey. I want to enjoy every single solitary second, every nanosecond of my life. I want to be able to enjoy it. I want to talk to you today about always believing. Coming to Christ like a little child and just say, I believe. I trust you. I believe. I may not see it. I may not feel it, but I believe. I've been thinking about believing and about faith, and you know, it's not something you do with your head. Now, our mind gets renewed, and I think now, and probably for many of you who've walked with God a long time, I do believe all this stuff in my mind too, because my mind's been renewed, but there's still times when my mind can't get a hold of something. When I look at a situation, and even sometimes not just for me, but in other people, I'll look at their situation or look at that person and just, you know, I want to believe, but with what I'm looking at, it's like, I don't know. But thank God, we're more than just a mind and a body. We are first and foremost a spirit. And it's with our spirit man that we believe. I didn't see Jesus die. But I know that I know that I know, I know that he did. Well, see, a person who doesn't understand faith will say, well, how do you know that? Well, I just know because God has revealed it to me in the Spirit, just like many of you. Really, salvation is an amazing thing, how God will just give you that faith to reach out and believe. But you do have to be willing to ignore or go beyond your own thoughts and your own feelings. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. But faith is substance and it's evidence. It's just not a material evidence or a material substance. And I just want to say to you this morning by way of encouragement that the spiritual realm is really much more real than the natural realm. We are not in here by ourselves today. There are angels in this building. Amen. I said there are angels in this building. All of us have a guardian angel. You have an angel that goes with you everywhere that you go. Now, I've never seen mine, but I believe the Word of God. And when you decide to believe and just get away from all the doubt and unbelief and the double-mindedness and the trying to figure everything out, see, I believe that we're never alone. Never alone. Even when you feel alone, you're never alone. Because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I am with you always, even unto the very ends of the earth. God is with you, no matter how you feel. It is amazing how wonderful, now stick with me today, it's amazing how wonderful life can be if we just decide to get out of this brain, come on, and just go deeper to what we sense in the spirit. I'll give you an example. I remember one time doing a meeting, and we had planned this special meeting. It was on a holiday weekend, and we thought, well, it would be a special thing, you know, lots of people would come out. Well, as it turned out, it wasn't too well attended, which is kind of a downer for a minister anyway. So I probably already had a couple of strikes against me before I even got up on the platform because I'm disappointed because all the people didn't come. And then I didn't feel too great about my message that weekend. And so when I got done, I started the thing that we do until we learn better. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. You know, it's pointless to think about how you shouldn't have done something that you've already done. I mean, if you've made a mistake over here and you wasted that day, then don't spend today regretting the mistake that you made yesterday, because then you waste today. So even if I shouldn't have done the meeting, I did it. I had a choice to believe, well, this was a big mistake, or somebody here today got helped. Somebody here needed what I had to say. Believing is wonderful. Believing keeps you happy. And I don't know about you, but I've just decided that I'm going to be happy. You see, I've lived more in my life than what I've got left. And that's kind of an unusual thought when you get to that point. You see, I realized a couple years ago, I've already done two-thirds of this I got about a third left, and I want to make it count. Amen. I want to make sure that I don't waste any of my days, and I want to really enjoy my life. And that's the second thing I'm going to talk to you about today. We're going to end with enjoying your everyday life. But first, believing. It's something that we can choose to do, but it has to be done in the Spirit. We believe the Word of God. Believing is an absolutely amazing thing. So I was having these regrets, probably shouldn't have done this meeting, had the wrong message. Nobody got anything out of that. Dave and I started our drive home, and I was just tormented in my mind. Is there anybody here today that realizes that when you live in your mind, you can live in total torment all the time? Because your mind does not agree with the Word of God. It agrees with the world. And so when your mind, your mouth, and your feelings all pile up on you, you better have somewhere to go. And that's like deeper into the Spirit. So this is what I felt that God put on my heart. He said, shut your mind off and tell me what's in your heart about this situation. I want you to start trying that in your life when you start getting rattled and all upset. Just shut your mind off for a minute. What's in my heart? What's in my heart? Well, I believe I did preach today what you put on my heart. As a matter of fact, if I really tell you what's in my heart, Lord, I don't think it was bad. I think it was pretty good. And, I thought we were supposed to do this. You didn't tell us not to. And it wasn't attended great, but it wasn't horrible. And so, yeah, everything's pretty good. I mean, just in a few seconds, I went from being tormented, full of doubt and unbelief and misery and thinking the whole thing was a failure to knowing. See, there's a difference in thinking and knowing. If you can get a hold of this today, I think it's going to elevate you to a new place. We spend way too much time in our mind. And believe me, the devil offers us all kinds of thoughts that do not agree with the Word of God. We have to learn to believe what God says, and we grasp it by faith. We reach out and we grasp it with the Spirit. I want to live more in the Spirit. I want to walk more in the Spirit and not just walk in my feelings or my own mind or, you know, my own will, but in the Spirit. Is anybody with me today? We want to begin to walk in the Spirit. What is my spirit saying about this situation? Is it really hopeless like my brain wants me to think it is? Or are all things possible with God? Does God still have a miracle for me? Does he love everybody equally? If he's ever done anything for anybody, surely he can do something for me. He's no respecter of persons. So believing, I think you can decide to, if you want to. Or you can keep making yourself miserable all the time, trying to figure things out in life. Always believe in Romans 1:17. It says, in the Word, there's a righteousness revealed that leads us from faith to faith to faith. A righteousness revealed that leads us from faith to faith to faith. That righteousness is that right standing with God. Oh my gosh, things begin to change when you know that God loves you and you know that God is not mad at you. And you don't even say, well, you know, how could I have this problem in my life if God loves me? You say, yes, I have this problem in my life, but that's no sign or symptom that God doesn't love me. God loves me, and I can trust him to bring me through this problem, and I can trust him to take it and use it for good in my life. Amen? God loves me, and I trust him. Some of you know that I had breast cancer. Wasn't expecting to go to the doctor and get that report. I just went for my little checkup thing and had a mammogram, got a call back. There's something on here that doesn't look good. It's small, but we really feel like you should get it checked out. So got the biopsy thinking that was all going to come back fine. Well, it didn't come back fine. Came back and said, although this is a very small tumor, It is a very fast-growing type of cancer. And so back then, they really just recommended a mastectomy. They didn't do the other things that they do today. And so here, within like a week's period of time, I went from a woman of faith and power preaching the gospel all over the place to seemingly being in a position where none of what I was preaching was working for me. But God spoke some things to my heart very early in that little journey, because, you know, when you hear things like that, fear just hits you. And there were some things that God told me to say and some things that he did not want to hear me say. Don't ask me why. I want to hear you say, God loves me. I trust him. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. There were five things like that, all really positive things. And I walked around for the 7 or 10 days before the surgery saying those things over and over and over. And when doubt and unbelief would hit my mind, I would say, I trust God. I trust God. God's going to take care of this. He loves me. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. They tell me that when I woke up from the anesthesia, that I was saying, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the people that were there waiting for me to come to, you know, where you're in that kind of dreamy land state, they said, you were so sweet. You were ministering to the nurses and loving everybody. I said, see, there it is down in there somewhere. You just got to knock me out to get to it. Well, as it turned out, you know, they checked my lymph nodes like they always do, and none of the cancer cells had gotten to my lymph nodes, so I didn't have to have any kind of treatment after that. Every year I go and get checked, and every year I get a clean bill of health, every year. Now, but about 3 years ago, I went for my regular checkup. Well, no, that's not what happened. I was having some back problems, and so they did a MRI on my back, and the report came back, there's some spots on your spine that we're concerned about. They knew I'd had cancer, you got to tell them that. So they looked at it, and I had to have some more tests, and then I had to have a whole bone scan, and you know, they said, we're very concerned that the breast cancer you had is metastasized to your spine. And so, you know, you got these 2 weeks in between, you know, where you're waiting to get the test back. And you know what? I can honestly tell you that I just really wasn't all that afraid, because I just thought, now, I didn't want them to tell me that I had cancer, but I just thought, God, I'm in your hands. I'm gonna live till you're done with me. I've had a good ride, and I believe that you can take care of this, and I refuse to start getting this negative attitude and living in fear. Well, when it came back, they did a bone scan on my whole entire body, so I'm here to tell you there's nothing in there that's bothering anybody. I mean, I got it all. And this is what they said. Well, there's no cancer. I said, okay, so what are the spots on my spine? And they said, well, it actually looks like a cancer had metastasized to your bone and it healed itself. I thought, no, it didn't heal itself. I wanted to share that because there may be people here today that you've had a bad report from the doctor. You just, maybe people, I mean, there may be people laying in the hospital right now watching this program, and you're like, there's no hope for me. I'm so scared. This is not going to work. I'm going to die. Instead of saying all that, just say, God, I trust you. I trust you. And you know what? If you're watching from home and you've not received Christ as your Savior, please call the number on your screen and let one of my workers pray with you and lead you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You do not have to be alone with your situation. God loves you, He cares about you, and He's got a good plan for your life. Just believe. Can I tell you something? Believing doesn't cost anything. Unbelief makes you miserable. Believing makes you happy. You know what I've said publicly, hoping that a lot of unbelievers will hear this? You know, if you're an atheist or an agnostic, or you've decided that you don't believe that God is real, if you're wrong, you're in big trouble. But if I spend my whole life believing in something, even if it turned out at the end that it wasn't true, which I know is not going to happen, but I still wouldn't have lost anything because I've been so happy I can hardly stand it. So I say give it a try and see if you like it better than the way you're living. God loves you. He created you. You're not an oops or a bleep or a boops or a burp or whatever. The world was created by God with His very own hand, carefully and purposely. We didn't just have some time when some cell out of the ocean crawled up on the beach and began to evolve into what we now have. Nobody's ever bothered to tell you where that first cell came from, by the way. Believe. Believe. Let's look at the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11. You don't have to wonder if your kids are going to turn out all right. You can believe they will. And even if they're in trouble right now, you can believe they're going to change. Let me ask a question. How many of you want to enjoy your life? All right, you cannot do that unless you learn how to believe. We go from faith to faith to faith to faith, not from faith to doubt and unbelief and back to faith and, well, I can believe this, but I can't believe that. And we just believe. It drives the devil nuts. Come like a little child and just believe. In John chapter 11, there's a wonderful account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And we can get many great examples out of this, but let's start in verse 5, John 11, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were His dear friends, and He held them in loving esteem. Therefore, because He loved them, when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He still stayed 2 days longer in the same place and didn't bother to go and help him. Because He loved him, you would think that He would have ran right over there and fixed the problem. But do you see that? Because He loved him, He waited 2 more days. See, you think when you're having to wait, that means God doesn't love you. According to this, it's a symptom that He does love you. Because maybe God's got something deeper in mind than your immediate relief. Yeah. You know what? If I didn't go through that whole cancer thing for any reason other than to stand up and give other people hope. Sometimes we go through things and it doesn't even have anything to do with us. It's something that God's using us for somebody else's encouragement later on in life. And you don't have to figure out what you did wrong or what your sin is or, you know, why doesn't God love me and all that junk. You just say, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. I love Him, and the devil is not going to win. This is going to work out for my good. He loved them. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore, he waited and didn't go help them right then. You're not getting as much out of that as I do, but that just amazes me. I want to talk to you today about always believing. Coming to Christ like a little child and just say, I believe. I trust you. I believe. I may not see it. I may not feel it, but I believe. Let's look at the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11. You don't have to wonder if your kids are going to turn out all right. You can believe they will. And even if they're in trouble right now, you can believe they're going to change. Let me ask a question. How many of you want to enjoy your life? All right, you cannot do that unless you learn how to believe. We go from faith to faith to faith to faith, not from faith to doubt and unbelief and back to faith and, well, I can believe this, but I can't believe that. And we just believe. It drives the devil nuts. Come like a little child and just believe. In John chapter 11, there's a wonderful account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Okay, verse 21. Lazarus, of course, is dead now. Martha said to Jesus when he finally did show up, Master, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Well, how often do we think, well, God, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. And what God wants us to know is it doesn't matter that it happened. I can still give you a resurrection. Why do we think that God is able to help us not to have problems, but he's not able to solve our problem, even though we've had it for a long time? Can I just tell you, you've got a resurrection coming. Amen? If you had been here, let's don't ever say that to God. Why did you let this happen? I don't understand. You could have done something about this. Why didn't you do something about this? I used to wonder about that with the abuse that I went through in my childhood because I prayed when I was a kid and I asked God to get me out of that situation. I even prayed things that weren't so good, like I prayed for my dad to die and stuff that really wasn't great. I prayed for my mother to get the courage to leave him and that didn't happen. And so even though I prayed, nothing happened. But you know what? I've given up trying to figure all that out. What I do know is that God didn't deliver me from it, but he did bring me through it, and I came out strong. If you would have been here, then this wouldn't have happened. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. And Martha said, well, I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection on that last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 32. Now when Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she dropped down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you would have been here. So Mary and Martha both got the same story. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I want you to watch these next few verses. When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews who came along with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And I can tell you, he wasn't moved, and it wasn't their tears that was making him feel that way. It was their unbelief. Watch this. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He chafed in spirit and sighed and was disturbed. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said, well, come and see. In verse 35, and Jesus wept. He wasn't weeping for Lazarus. He already knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He wasn't weeping for Mary and Martha because they'd lost their brother, because he already knew he was going to raise him from the dead. Matter of fact, he waited and let him die so he could raise him from the dead. Whew, I love this. Jesus wept. I wonder how often he weeps over our unbelief. I wonder how often Jesus cries because he just wants us to trust him. To just say, God, I trust you. I don't understand it. It sure hurts. It doesn't seem fair. But I trust you. And if you're up for it, I think it's even a great thing to get to the point in your life where we stop asking God why about everything. Some things just aren't any of our business. There are some things that are just deeper in God that there's no way we're going to understand it because it's a spiritual thing. Yeah, well, you're not liking that too much. But I mean, if we need to know why something happened because it's going to be a good, valuable lesson for us, then God will tell us. But if we don't need to know, he's not going to tell us. So why drive yourself nuts trying to figure out something that only God knows and he's not telling you? John 11:40 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Many times if I sign a book for somebody, I'll write that scripture in John 11:40. Because this is what it said. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? The King James I like even better. It says, only believe, and you will see the glory of God. Now, the word glory, if you study that word, it means the manifestation of all of God's excellencies. The bringing out in the open where it can be seen all of the goodness of God and God's most excellent things. So when God says, if you will only believe, that's all he, only believe. Only believe. That's why we're called believers, by the way. Only believe, you will see the glory of God. You will see the manifestation of God's goodness and excellence in your life. Can I encourage you not to look at one day in your life, or one month in your life, or even one year in your life, and start determining all these things about God from that one year? Look at your life as a whole. You know, if I wanted to just stare at the first 18 years of my life, I'd probably want to go hang myself. And then to tell you the truth, the next five weren't all that great either, because I married a guy just to get away from the situation I was in. I thought nobody would ever want me, and he was goofier than I was. And so, you know, that was just another five-year nightmare. So by the time I was 23, I could never remember ever having been happy. Never. I could not ever remember ever having been happy. Never. So I didn't have a great start. And if I just looked at those years, I'd be in a really bad mood right now. But I got to look at all the rest of it too. I got to look at what God's doing now and how he's using that and how that fit into my life. Amen. You know, there may be some terrible things that have happened to you, but God's still got some other ingredients to add into your life. He's still got some other stuff to throw into that life happening thing that's going to make it turn out pretty good, going to make it tasty. So maybe you've had a lot of ow days and not a lot of wow days, but I think you got some more wow days coming. Amen? Now listen. Jesus said, roll away the stone. Oh, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He's already stinking. like that matters. Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come out. And out he came, still wrapped in grave clothes. And then I love what Jesus said, take off the grave clothes. And you know what? That's partially my message today. Many of you have come out, so to speak. You are born again, but you're still going around in grave clothes. You're wrapped up in gloom and doom and bad attitudes and, you know, just Take off the grave clothes and start living life. Amen? Come out. Take off those grave clothes. Get them off. Lift up your heads and lift up your hands and say, I trust God. I believe and I will see the glory of God. John 11:40 says, if you simply believe, you will see the glory of God. But that can be hard to do when your circumstances aren't good. Many of you want to know how to trust God every single day in every situation and how to stand firm in believing God's word. Well, Ginger is here with some of your questions, and I pray that God will give me the grace to answer them. So, Ginger.
You know, I really love these questions because I think we all know that we need to trust.
Right.
But putting it into application, you know, the actual act of trusting is not always as simple as it sounds.
Sometimes it's easy, but sometimes it's very challenging.
Yeah. So, great questions. The first one comes from Lucretia in Michigan. She says, I read the word and I meditate on it, yet sometimes I just have a hard time trusting. What more can I do?
Well, I think that we do need to realize that doubt is always going to come. And I love what the Bible says about Abraham, that no doubt or unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. Mm. So just because doubt comes doesn't mean I need to receive it. I think we need to learn how to doubt our doubts. In other words, I'm standing firm. That doesn't mean fear won't try to come. That doesn't mean doubt won't try to come. But I can still stand firm on God's word and just say, I'm not listening to that. I know it's the enemy just trying to get me off track. I'm going to stand firm in
God. So it didn't seem that it didn't say that he didn't have any doubts.
Right, exactly.
That he did it in spite.
I love that in Abraham. No doubt or unbelief made him waver.
Yeah, that's good.
Concerning the promise of God. It's in Abraham, in Romans chapter 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, I made a statement not too long ago on one of the conferences. I said, the being free from something doesn't mean the disappearance of that thing. In other words, I believe that God sets us free from fear. But that doesn't mean I'll never feel fear. That means that I have the courage in Him to keep going forward even when I feel that, because I believe His word more than I believe the fear.
Mm, that's good.
Well, it's the same thing with doubt. You know, I mean, who of us, especially if you have to stand for a long time firm in something, whether you're waiting for a healing or you're waiting for a breakthrough in some other area, I don't think any of us could say that, well, we're never even tempted to doubt or to have a thought this may not happen,
right.
But we don't have to believe those things. We can continue to believe the Word of God.
That's why it's okay to pray, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Kendra from Louisiana would like to know, with all that has been going on in America and so many things happening here in our nation and heartache for our country, I believe several of us could use a word or two on trusting God's word when chaos reigns.
Well, first of all, I believe that if each one of us do what we should do, that we can trust God that He will take care of us. You know, there was chaos in Egypt when all the plagues were coming on Egypt, and yet God's people were taken care of in a little place called Goshen. And I think that Goshen is like the presence and the protection of God. And the whole thing is we've already read the end of the Bible and we know that God wins in the end. And I don't like what's going on. I don't like all the bad reports. I don't like all the discouraging things that are happening. But in some ways, and none of us know exactly when, the Bible tells us that these kind of things are going to take place toward the end. Now, Paul thought he was living in the last days, so I'm not saying Jesus is coming back tomorrow, but he will at some point, and there's going to be a great ingathering of saints, a great revival, but also a great falling away, and there's going to be trouble and anguish in the world.
Right.
And so all I know is if that we're alive on the planet at this time, then we're equipped to be here. And if we keep our eyes on God, he'll show us how to navigate through it. And, you know, I think the simple answer to her question is you got to be careful what you focus on. You know, God is just as real as the problems.
Yeah.
But to be honest, some people may not agree with this, but I don't even care to listen to the news like over and over,
yeah.
You know. I mean, what I do on my phone is I look at the headlines, and then if there's something that I feel like I need to know, I'll check into it, because I do think we should be informed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you put too much of the bad news in you, then it gets hard to have hope. And so I think it's important to glance at your problems and stare at Jesus,
right,
not
yeah.
the other way around.
Yeah, good. Marie from Colorado asks, how do I trust God's word when I had faith and it still went wrong?
Well, having faith in God doesn't necessarily mean, let me put it like this. There's believing God for something and there's believing God through something. So believing God is believing God. And I think that's a great question, because I remember having to make that same transition in my life. It's one thing to trust God to give me what I want. It's another thing entirely to trust God when it doesn't turn out the way that I wanted, and to believe that even in the worst circumstance, God can still work something good out of that.
Right.
It doesn't mean the thing is good.
Right.
But he can still work some good out of it. Let's just say, for example, that maybe somebody has a child die. Well, how can I stand and tell them, oh, it's going to turn out good?
Right.
You know, you're always going to have a loss there. But God can still do good things with the tragic thing that happened. You know, like I was thinking this morning about a situation. I know a man who's a pastor whose son was actually accidentally electrocuted while working under the platform in the church. Now, it was just a terribly hurtful situation, and I know that they still miss that boy every single day. But you know what? I do this, and I know other people that do it too. If we hear about somebody who's lost a child, he'll be one of the first people we'll call to get him to talk to them, because he has real compassion in that area. So if we continue to trust God, not just to do things, but through things, he'll always work some good out of it.
Hmm. As hard as it may be when you're in the middle of it.
No, absolutely, because you have the personal pain,
yeah.
the emotional pain to deal with. And it's kind of like, you know, you're fighting a battle that is difficult to even understand. But
yeah.
I'll tell you the truth, Ginger, if we get right down to it, I don't know what any of us are going to do if we don't trust God.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, there is no other option. What am I going to do if I don't trust God?
Right.
Then I have to just throw in the towel and quit and give up and be confused and frustrated. And so I've decided for my life that I'm going to trust God, even if it's beyond reason, if it doesn't make any sense. To me, that's my only option.
Right. Because we can put our trust in ourselves. We can put our trust in other people. We can put our trust in our work. And all those things will fail us.
Right.
Nothing will do what God can do in our
life. And that doesn't mean God's going to give me everything I want.
Right.
Or that it's
right.
going to turn out exactly the way I want it to.
Right.
But this life here is going to be over a lot sooner than most of us think. Our years go by pretty fast. And then I'm going to have God. He's the one thing that lasts forever. And so I want to make sure that I've got my trust in the right place, not in something yeah. temporal.
Yeah. All right. Tara is asking, what verse or scripture in the Bible should I dwell on for helping with worry? I do have trust, but when it's your kids, it's just hard not to worry.
Well, I know that it is. It's challenging, you know, not especially if it's your children. But, you know, the scripture that I always think about is Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. And so I think one of the ways to...
It's a great scripture.
...to not just be stuck in worry all the time is to trust God to do what you need and then stay busy yourself doing something
yeah.
to be a blessing to somebody else. I think the more I stay busy trying to help other people, the less time I have to worry about my own situations. And, you know, just as a comfort, I can tell whoever this is that's asking this question that I spent a lot of time, no, I wasted a lot of time worrying about my children, and they all turned out fine. And so I think that the way it looks right now doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, we can't make other people's choices for them. We just can't. We can be an example. We can pray for them, but we can't make their choices for them. And so the best thing to do is pray that they'll make the right choices at the right time and just stay busy helping people. What you make happen for somebody else, God can make happen for you.
Yeah. And I love that verse has an action in it for us to do as well. We're depending on God. We're trusting in Him completely. But He will still give us things in our lives that will move our faith along by helping other people, by seeing Him work in other people's lives. And that really does make such a big difference.
That's right.
Tanya is asking, I experienced sexual trauma as a child. It led me to mistrust God to keep me safe. I find myself struggling to trust God's word for fear that I might go through something awful again.
So, you know, I was abused sexually in my childhood. And I remember praying for God to get me out of the situation many, many, many times. So I can understand where she's at. And God didn't get me out of the situation, but He did get me through it. And when I learned to not be bitter and resentful about what had happened to me, but to trust God to work something good out of it, He's worked it all into my life, and it's now a benefit to a lot of other people. And so I would just say this, if you trusted God for something at one time and you didn't feel that you got it, that doesn't mean you didn't. Because what happens is when we don't get it the way we want. See, I wanted God to get me out of that situation. I didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. And He didn't do that, but He did something else. And so maybe she's looking at it in that way, that, well, God didn't deliver her, and so she thought she could trust Him, and so now she feels like she can't trust Him. But we can't just trust God to get what we want. We trust God to even take the things that Satan means for harm and to work them out for good. Mm-hmm. That's in Genesis 50:20, where Joseph was so horribly mistreated by his brothers and so unfair and unjust, and yet when they came back to finally repent, he said, you know, what you meant for harm, God intended for good. And so a lot of it is our attitude toward things. And, you know, here again, who are we going to trust if we don't trust God? I mean, I've tried trusting myself, and I kind of fall apart sometimes. And I've tried trusting people, and although I do trust people, I don't put all of my trust in people. Mm-hmm. You certainly can't trust the world's financial system. I don't know what we're going to trust if we don't trust God. And God is good, and God is faithful. Yeah. And maybe you had a disappointment at one time in your life, but how many other times has God been good to you and come through for you and done what you did ask Him to do?
Yeah. This is from Michelle. I'm faced with the potential side effect of my past mistakes. How do I believe what the Word says about forgiveness when this could forever remind me of long ago mistakes?
Well, I think I kind of understand what she's trying to say, although she's not really coming right out and saying it. You know, first of all, God does not always remove all the circumstances of what we got ourselves into. I mean, let's just say, for example, if somebody commits a murder, they can be forgiven, but they may still end up...
There are consequences.
There are consequences for the things that we do. And I don't really have any good scripture to say we can make all that go away. But I guess when the person's talking about, I may end up with some circumstances that are going to forever remind me of my mistakes, I guess the good thing to do is when you're being reminded of those mistakes is to remember how amazing it is that God forgave you for those.
Right.
You know, even though maybe you're still having to deal with some circumstances, how merciful and gracious God is that He's forgiven me for the thing that I did. And then the other side of it is nobody's saying that God can't remove the circumstances. I believe that God can give us favor and he can show mercy and he can do things that would absolutely amaze us. So I wouldn't give up and say, well, I guess I'll just have to suffer now the rest of my life because of what I did. But either way, God is good and he's merciful and his forgiveness is extremely amazing. And we don't have to live in the past. You know, I tell people, and I really believe this, that your real life is your life in you. It's not what's going on around you. So I think that there are people that are, for example, in prison for something they've done in the past that are more free than some people that are living what would be considered an ordinary life, but they're in bondage inside.
Right.
So no matter where you're at, if you know how much God loves you and you understand his forgiveness and you understand the great mercy that he shows in your life, you can still be a happy person and be blessed. And you can even make good use out of that by sharing with other people.
So we can totally trust in that full promise of forgiveness,
right,
even though we still see some consequences for different things in our past.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, today we're offering you a Bible. You can never have too many Bibles. And we have a Bible called the Everyday Life Study Bible. And I call it that because I do believe that the Word of God is for our everyday lives. The Word of God is practical. It's not just spiritually over our heads, it's practical. And this one today is the black leather version, and I think it'll be a blessing and a benefit to you. The study Bible is great. It's full of all kinds of teaching notes from my past messages and things that God has taught me over the years, and I think it will really help you have good understanding in the Word of God. It's good not to just read the Word, but to study the Word, and this will help you do that.
God's Word is life-changing, and the Everyday Life Bible will increase your understanding of Scripture through notes and commentary by Joyce Meyer. Each book of the Bible has an historical introduction, as well as practical life points and articles on how you can put the Word of God to work in your life, in every situation. This beautiful bonded leather edition is available today for your gift of $40. To order, call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.